This presentation is about wearable technology. I do encourage you to join your Yahoo group. That's one of the ways you will find out about APCUG's quarterly virtual technology conferences we put on. You can attend 3 out of 6 presentations from the comfort of your own home in your bathrobe and fuzzy slippers. Leah is somebody that who usually attends, and she's kind enough to send me a kudo about 1 or 2 that she has attended that I can put on the website. Like Paula, had somebody put APCUG's website together in the first place, and now I update it. So works really well that way. But I do encourage you to get on that list so you do get information about the presentations every quarter. We have 6. You choose 3. This presentation came about because the editor of the Quad Cities Computer Society in Iowa, Chicago area writes really great meeting reviews. And their president, Judy McDowell, gave a presentation on her wearable technology. And it was such a cool article that I thought, I'm going to turn this into a presentation for my group. And this is the 3rd one that Carol and I have given so far. So the pace of technology is changing so fast. Wearable technology devices of all different kinds are the in thing for groups of all ages. Not just for kids, they are perfect for seniors. So, how many people sitting here have some kind of wearable technology that they use? 1 in the back, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, keeps you going. It doesn't count? Sorry. Okay. Anybody else? After this presentation and everybody shares, you might want to run right. Don't shake your head at me. Okay, then I'll go to sleep because you're sitting in the front row, you know, and I'll notice it. The rest of you might be inclined to go out and use it somehow. It started, yes it does. I'm going to be talking about that. It started back in the China, back in the dynasty. It was an abacus on a ring. It was not something that you attached to your clothing. Somebody turned it into a ring and you can add, etc. with that. So they consider that the beginning of wearable technology. And I do know there's nobody in this room that is that old. The pedometer dates back to 1780. Good old Leonardo thought it was an idea that there should be a mechanical device, so a Swiss man decided, I'm going to fix my self-winding watch to measure my steps and distance when I'm walking. 1780. On to 1921 and the lie detector that we always see in the murder mystery things on TV. Electronic measures our pulse and blood pressure. We've got sensors on our body that measures the changes to tell whether we're telling the truth or lying. Wearable technology. Aha! 1961 in Japan came the real pedometer. A professor wanted to be able to track his walking for health, so he came up with the first pedometer that, like Stephanie says, it always keeps falling off and breaking. 1971, we're on to car technology. We all of a sudden have airbags, and there has to be technology that tells us when the car has stopped suddenly to deploy the airbags. 1972, the digital watch. Mechanical watches had been around since the 1920s, but the ever-popular at the time Hamilton Watch Company partnered with Electro Data and came up with a Pulsar. Who remembers the Pulsar? I do. It was 18-karat gold. That watch does not look that expensive, okay? It cost back then, 1972, $2,100, $12,000 in our money. If you had one of those, you should have kept it. 1974, it started game technology that we always can't stand to see our kids and our grandkids using all the time. But now we will be able to play Zelda, Donkey Kong, and that started all this video game stuff. 1982, on to sports training, monitoring athletes' heart rates. 1999, the ever-popular stationary bikes. All of a sudden, we have feedback, how fast we were going, visual. Carol's over here nodding her head. Is that the one that you just got rid of? Okay, so, you know, don't get rid of things. They always come back. 2000 brought us GPS and Bluetooth headsets. Now we had an earth-wide way that we could track movement. The first Bluetooth-enabled mobile phones had those wonderful headsets. You guys all remember Plantronics? I can remember at work, it was such an exciting thing. Plantronics headset did not work with my phone at work, and I was so devastated. But that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, via a Plantronics headset. Okay. 2004 came the GoPro. Would you believe they used 35 millimeter film? The digital version came out in 2006, and you got all of a 10-second video that you could record. Now you see all these crazy people around with this thing in their head, strapped around, and off they're going. 2013, Google Glasses. Google thought this was going to be the greatest thing that ever came down the pike. Head-mounted display, it was stuck to a camera and glasses frame. And you could see the information just floating up there, your right eye. People considered you looked really dorky with it. And everybody had a fit and fell in it because you didn't know when somebody was taking your picture. So the good old evasion of privacy invasion. On to Google Cardboard. Has anybody ever used Google Cardboard other than Maurice because he hangs out with kids a lot? You download the app to your smartphone, you lay the smartphone in a slot back there, and you are using Google Cardboard. Educators and marketeers use it. I guess end users like us aren't interested in it. 2016 brought us the Snapchat spectacles. You think they would have learned from Google, but the camera's on one side, and a light goes on to show people that it's recording. They used to only sell them in kiosks. Now you can buy them for $130. Perhaps they learned from the Google Glasses. Has anybody ever seen the Google Glasses presentation? I had a guy do one through the virtual technology conference out of Oklahoma City. And it was past its time, but he sat in his bedroom and we looked at the heavens, we looked at all kinds of different things. It was absolutely fascinating. And all I could think of, too bad it was so dorky, and too bad that everybody had a cow because they thought that it was an invasion of privacy. So, you put everything together from 1644 to 2007, and there was a company that put all these functions into a small wearable device in 2009. The company was Fitbit. With wearable technology, we can monitor heart rate, sleep, how many steps we've taken, you name it. We can be much healthier people when we are using one. It motivates us to a healthier lifestyle. If nothing else, it does that. So Judy said she bought a Fitbit Charge. She liked it because it recorded her steps, her heart rate, and also had the time on it. Now they have watches and all different kinds of stuff. So it's recommended that you wear it two fingers above your wrist bone. And Judy's has caller ID, so when she configured it with her mobile phone, she knew when she was getting a call. As a USB charger, a dongle that you put into your computer so you could upload your data to your Fitbit page, comes out in an Excel spreadsheet, Paula? Your data comes out in an Excel spreadsheet? just on the screen. And she said, Judy said, the battery lasts for 7 to 10 days. She said that never happened for her, but she really didn't care. She didn't consider it an issue. It also, yes, I defer to Miss Paula, who has a different kind than Carol's got. If you're in a wheelchair, where would you carry your...
Because it is an algorithm designed to look for motion patterns that are most indicative of people walking. So they say if the motion is big enough, large enough, that it looks like a step. So if I go a little like this, it might do like a step. So therefore, you don't get the correct reading if you put it on a wheel from a bike or a wheelchair.
But it's better than nothing.
But at least...
And
no.
this is something that, yeah, I would Google. Definitely ask the question of Google and see what they say. Or even give Fitbit a call.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When I saw the ad in the paper, I thought you had to come wearable. I'm just kidding. But I'm wearing a wearable.
Good. We're gonna share all our wearables after the presentation.
The C-Leg that the vets wear. And I'm also the representative for a Google Glass.
Cool.
Which is back on the market.
Good. Current health advice strongly says you really need to get probably a lot more sleep than we get now with what we do, and your wearable device can let you know whether you are getting enough sleep or not. You upload your data online, you have an account, helps you see your progress. Judy found out that when she was shopping, her steps weren't being tracked. She's holding on to the cart. Okay? So she got in touch with Fitbit and said, hello, you know, what should I do? And do you go like this? When, you know, and you have to be really coordinated to keep it going forward and swinging your arm. And she said, Fitbit said, let us know how far you are walking and what amount of time it took you, and we will compute that into how many steps you would normally be taking in that distance. And she said, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Each wearable technology like Fitbit, Garmin, whatever, they all count your steps differently. What you might have with one device is going to be different with another device. So you need to choose one and say, I'm happy with that one and how many steps it says I'm taking. It can also calculate calories burned, which is way cool if you are using something like this to lose weight. You can download your data to a spreadsheet so you can gaze at it when you're at your computer. And if you purchase, of course, it's always clicks more, you can have a personal trainer set up an exercise plan just for you, and probably many other people the same get the same plan. So Judy concluded her presentation with, we really like to and want to improve our health status in life, and devices of this nature will help move us along toward this goal. Fitbit keeps a tally of users around the country. Greater Los Angeles averages 7,622 steps. New York's more than us. A total U.S. is a little less than we take on average. They also have an online blog that you can participate in. Has lots of good information for you. It all depends on how much you want to get involved with it. You might just want to use it to count your steps. You might want to embrace a lot of the other technology. It's estimated that the market is going to grow 35% over the next 5 years. 148 million units shipped annually up in 2019, up from 33 million that were shipped in 2016. So it is a raging market, and it's unfortunate we did not all get in wearable technology stock in the beginning. But there's kind of some people consider it a downside. Other people say yay. But from a New York Daily News article, the police and other law enforcement officials now have started using fitness trackers in courtrooms as evidence. There was a case in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where this gal said that she had been raped. She was up from Florida, and she was staying at this guy's house, and she had a Fitbit. And they took a look at that Fitbit, and it showed that she never stopped walking all night long. So either it was on the fly while she was walking, because she never sat down, she never laid down, it was always the same, and the case was dismissed because of what they found on her tracker. And the Lancaster DA in a Today show said, we've got technology out there like Fitbit, and we're going to take advantage of it. We're going to have to adapt what we do and think out of the box and look for other aspects where we can prove or disprove a crime. And they're saying, recognize wearable devices as the human body's black box. So if you are one of these people that thinks this is absolutely horrible, that somebody could be doing this, this is not the technology for you. You're going to pass this by. So it recognizes all sorts of data, steps, sleeping habits, location, and with GPS sensors. That's another way the legal system is using the wearable technology, is via the GPS sensors. And I'm sorry, I was not there when that murder was committed. And oh, they have a piece of wearable technology, and the GPS says, yes, you were. Your smartphone's the same thing. So smartwatches bound to join the long list of technology that's taking litigation more and more into the digital world. Medical wearable technology is one of the biggest fields. Healthcare is changing like crazy. It's shifting from disease treatment to prevention by folks using wearable technology. Care is brought to the patients rather than us having to visit Kaiser or whoever your provider is. There's greater personalization of care instead of the one-size-fits-all approach. Dr. Sexton will tell you, when your doctor prescribes take two pills three times a day, you really don't know that that's what you should be taking. That's the general for everybody. You might need to take three pills twice a day or one pill three times a day to help you with whatever your problem is. But there's a general. So with wearable technology, they can get more personal one-on-one and get it right, because as he said, it is called practicing medicine. So opening new healthcare frontiers, there's skin-worn patches that can remotely and accurately capture our vital signs and other health info. They can go down to our smartphones or go to our physician. And one of the things about the skin-worn patches is they really had to do a lot of research to get the adhesive so it didn't drive everybody crazy and they didn't all get rashes and all this good kind of stuff. I know my second daughter had amblyopia, Charlie Brown's lazy eye, and we had a heck of a time finding a tape that we could tape that patch to her skin that didn't drive this poor little 9-month-old and 18-month-old kid crazy. That's what they've done with these patches. They've done a lot of research on it, which is good. So we have smart wristbands, watches, we know about those. They're shirts with technology, shoes, shorts, caps, headbands, eyeglasses, belts and necklaces. They all have some kind of technology in them, and we don't realize it, and it's not, you're not carrying a sign that says, hi, I have this, and I'm wearing this shirt that's helping my doctor make me better. They can all contain sensors that gather the data, and they go to a database or software app for analysis, either on, again, your smartphone or directly to your physician. Wearable technology can help you engage with the medical community sooner. oh, you know, I don't really feel good, but I don't feel like going to the doctor. And then all of a sudden you have, you know, two different kinds of pneumonia, and you really didn't think you had pneumonia because you had a pneumonia shot, which I found out later doesn't cover everything. They should have said that in the first place. So they can tell your doctor when you're getting sick. If I had had one of those, my doctor would have gotten in touch and said, you know, Judy, that cough says you've got pneumonia. And I would have said, really? Didn't think I could get it. Ended up with two. In 2016, medical wearable technology is the second largest market share. And it's helping with diabetes, sleep disorders, obesity, cardiovascular, so on and so on and so on. You have some kind of wearable technology for your family member with Alzheimer's, and it is going to track where they go. They walk out the door and down the street, and you've lost them. No, you found them because they are wearing something that you can track with your phone. It's just like you chip your animals, and you can find your dog or your cat when they go out the door. It's much more important with our friends and relatives. There's an asthma management kit. You have some sensors on you. It says, hey, you know, you should be using your inhaler. It gives you medication reminders, wearable GUI and interface, treatment plans, HIPAA compliant. That's one of the big things is HIPAA. I work for a nuclear medicine company, and we went through all kinds of things to turn all of our files and contacts and everything into everything that was HIPAA compliant. So when you're getting involved in medical wearable technology, that's going to be one of the questions you ask. How is this HIPAA compliant? They can't give anybody the time of day about your stuff, theoretically. Even your kids, your parents, whatever. Okay? So, Health Patch MD, detect and record your patient's heart rate, temperature, breathing rate, sudden movements, can give an external alert if the patient accidentally falls out of bed. I love it. They call it off bed. I have never fallen, I would say, off the bed, but I would say accidentally falls out of bed. And again, it can be connected to the smartphone or tablet so you can analyze your data. And here we have Google Smart Contact Lenses. Google is always out there in the forefront of everything with Google Glasses, Google Cardboard, and they have lenses for diabetic patients who also wear glasses. The glucose level can be measured through your tears fluid. The data relayed to your smartphone that analyzes it for you or directly to your physician. And their parent company, they've called themselves Alphabet. And this is via a company that they have purchased, and then they rolled it off to be their own company. And they said, when I was reading about this to refresh my memory, they said, well, you know, contact lenses, actually they go in and they replace your lens with this. And you see those little black things right there? Those are sensors. So you have technology in your eyeball that is sending your glucose level to your smartphone or your doctor. Not too shabby. And we are at the beach, so to speak. We're up in Santa Clarita Valley. And this is a cute little clippy that you could wear in your hair. You could clip it to your shirt. And it says tie clip. Does anybody wear ties anymore? Especially during the day out in the sun, but okay. And the information is synced to a smartphone app that says, you know, you have been out in the sun long enough. And you can put in the skin pigment you have. I sunburn very easily. Other people don't. I need to get in. I have one daughter that really shouldn't be out in the sun. She sunburns so fast. The other tans very darkly. and you put in the information about you, and it's all synchronized with the weather forecast using geolocation. And it's this little thing that you can clip right here. So if it's a rainy day, or if it's cloudy or overcast, those people who live at the beach know that you can get sunburned then just as easily if the sun is out. But you have this that reminds you, especially if you are prone to getting the spots that your physician has to cut out of you. And this is from my member. Helen sits right over here. Helen always sits in the same place. Her husband sat next to her, but he is ill and he doesn't come anymore. I know Helen knows a heck of a lot about computers, but she really doesn't share very much. All of a sudden, Helen got these new hearing aids, along with an Oticon streamer. Can't shut the lady up. She can hear everything. She is so pleased. I gave a presentation to the Laverne Computer Club, and there was this guy there. He was like this the whole time, so desperately trying to listen to me, and he almost fell out of his chair. And I mentioned this to him, and he said, "Oh, could you send me the information?" So when I got home, I sent Helen an email and said, "Would you share your hearing information with Wayne?" Off it went. And the same thing with the guy up in Lancaster. He wasn't happy with this information, so he went down to her hearing aid person in Van Nuys. This was calibrated, and he thinks is fantastic. But she wears it around her neck like I have my flash drive. And the neck strap has an antenna in it that even enhances the sound more. So when she's driving, now this is last year's presentation, when she's driving and the cell phone rings, she pushes the button on it that says phone. And it answers her telephone, and she can talk. And when she's finished, she clicks it again and hangs up. If she doesn't want to answer the phone, she presses it down a little longer, and it rejects the call. It connects separately to her TV, radio. You can listen to your streamed music, either wired or Bluetooth. And she hears much better at meetings. We're talking about participating all of the time. And it's absolutely fantastic to see the change in this lady who finally found something, wearable technology, that works for her and has enhanced her life so much and made it so better. And this Oticon has other things. This is called the streamer. And it has the little buttons on there. And you just think it's something like this flash drive that she wears hanging around her neck. Hearing aids go in here. One or two, however you need. And then she uses the streamer. It has a remote control that does things. But this is what she chose for what's best for her. And she can, she wears it around her neck. Battery operated. She just charges it. Plugs it into her computer and charges it. And she is absolutely overjoyed with it. Who knew? So that's my dull and boring stuff, informational and history and everything. And does anybody have any questions about anything that I talked about that I can or cannot answer? Maurice.
Excuse me. I don't mean to be facetious, but there's some fun wearable stuff that we have around, like the Oculus system. I thought you would hear something about the Oculus systems, which allows us to see things in three dimensions and to watch movies for entertainment. I have used it in my classroom for instructional purposes, and the students were really motivated to learn about our solar system, for example. So is there, besides Fitbit, are there other organizations like Oculus who are making wearable technologies?
I imagine there's a ton of them. It is the thing right now, and people are out there not only to think up new things, but to make money. And if there's money in something like that, then people are going to want to get on the bandwagon. But again, that's something that kids would find absolutely fantastic. They loved it in 1974 when you could start playing Donkey Kong and stuff like that.
Right.
That might not appeal to adults, so there would be a market
sure.
for that.
Yeah, but I think I should have recognized that the Google Cardboard is one form of Oculus system.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Now, I also found something called Pacer, which allows you to monitor how many steps you make.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if that's a Fitbit product also, or is it?
I don't know. I don't use Fitbit. She does.
Okay.
The second part of the presentation duo from the Santa Clarita Valley is my buddy in crime here, or cohort in crime, Carol Lee Montgomery. My daughter is married to her son. We share a grandson who is a goalie for the West Ranch hockey team. Yes, we do play hockey up in the heat. And she is the Fitbit wearer. And she's going to come up here and she is going to tell you, to get the discussion going, how she uses it, what she does with it. And I always introduce her as my non-technology friend. When she left Lockheed, she said, don't want to have anything to do with computers anymore, and she is totally enjoying this, her iPad and her new iPhone. All of a sudden, she's dipping her toe a little bit into technology.
Not much.
You are on, my dear.
Thank you.
And you want to turn your mic on?
Okay. That's better. I'm probably the least technical or computerized person in this room. I use an iPad and a smartphone, and that's it. I got my Fitbit a year ago, April, and I got it strictly as a motivator to get myself up and moving. I'm real active, always going here or there, but as far as walking or exercise, forget it. And this is something that makes me get up. Gee, between TV commercials or during commercials, I get up and walk around the house. You're supposed to walk 10,000 steps a day, is what the medical field tells you to walk. And there's sometimes I hit 9,990 something. I can't even get those 10 extra steps in. I'm bushed. There's other times that if I make it to 3,000, I've done well that day. So several people in my family had it when I decided to go out and buy one. I bought the basic, which does not have your heart rate, does not tell you what time it is, nor if you're getting a phone call. Mine strictly tells me how many steps, how far. It does tell you calories, and a big thing, it tells you how you're sleeping. And that came into play with my brother when he found I was wearing one. He was complaining because his sleep, he wasn't getting enough. He's 70 years old. He gets up several times in the night. Maybe he'd go back to sleep. Maybe he wouldn't. So he got a Fitbit, the cheapest model, just like mine, and you can find out, you can't read on ours everything. You've got to go to your iPhone or your iPad, and it tells you what it is. Well, since we all carry iPhones, that type of thing, it's easy to check through the day to see how you're doing. Anyway, it does record your sleep. He got his, started recording, found there were a lot of breaks in his sleep pattern. He ended up taking it to the doctor, showing him on his iPad. Turns out he has sleep apnea, which he did not have, or he did not know about. He has a CPAP. He sleeps much better. So that was a little interesting side bit for my brother. Mine is strictly to motivate me and get me moving. There are different models. This is the basic. They go on up from there, where it has all the features. They get bigger in size. I wanted something small. I do like watches, so I didn't need to have two watches on each day. But being what I call a girly girl, I wanted different bands. And you can order all kinds of bands over Amazon. They're very inexpensive. You pick it out to go with your outfit. The turquoise one she should have had on tonight. I even have one. I've never worn it because I don't think about it. The American flag for the holidays. So it is something I have been very pleased. I've had it over a year. It's worked fine. Mine lasts approximately 4 days without recharging. Oh, thank you. I was going to. And it just takes approximately 3 hours to recharge it. Middle of the day, goes out, it's still raring to go. They have a new one out. It's called the Flex 2. One step up from mine. You can shower with it. You can swim with it. I hate to get it while this still works, but that'll be the next one I buy. I don't need all these fancy things. As long as I'm standing here, I know my heart's beating, and that's part's all I care about. If there's any questions, I am not a techie, so this is all strictly from my perspective. My doctor is thrilled. My cholesterol is way down. My triglycerides are there at the bottom, and it's pure exercise. I wish I could say I've lost weight. I haven't, because I'm still eating too much, the wrong things. But at least I'm not gaining weight, because now I am more active. So that's my testimony.
Thank you. What is the price range of Fitbits from the entry-level model you're wearing to the top of the line?
Okay. Mine now starts at $79, which is what I paid $99 a little over a year ago. Mine now is $79. The Flex 2, which you can shower in and swim in, which to me is important. I would like that. I take it off to shower. I may forget to put it back on till the next day or something. I would go with the Flex 2, which is $99. Then you start getting in with the heart rate, the, what else is it besides heart rate? Anyway, those are, I think, $129. Then you get into the ones with the telephone letting you know. The nicer looking watches. It is something you wear, so you want to have it look nice. Those are running around $149, and then they go up from there. So you can get in for very little. I've been very pleased. Like I said, I'd love to go to get the other one, the new one. But this is working, and I hate to get rid of anything. Well, it's working. So if I should lose it here, I could run out and get the new Flex 2. So anyway, if there's any other questions, I like it. And my doctor has seen good results. And I'm very active at the senior center. And more of the seniors are beginning to wear them. I think so, because now they're...
I was just clearing my throat.
He was going to tell about his. Oh, thank you.
At Dinah's, I will never come to Westchester without stopping at Dinah's. And both Paula and Maurice have ones that are even less expensive than Carol's. One of the way that Fitbit is making money is they keep coming out with new products all the time. It's just not status quo with them. They are based in San Francisco, and they are making money hand over fist. Like I said, too bad we didn't get on the ground floor with stock options. But they come out with new things all the time. When Carol bought hers, it was the bottom of the line, and they have one that they're going to share with you that is even less expensive.
Okay, seeing that I'm the former president and Paula was a member of the board, I hereby authorize you to speak eloquently on this topic.
Authorize. I need your authorization.
Yes, as ex-president. Please proceed.
Okay, Mr. Ex-President. By the way, I'm still a member of the board, not was. Okay, so what do you want me to tell you? I can pass it around. Yeah. Okay, you pass it around.
I will hold up the two Fitbits that we have. I stole mine, she bought hers.
Yeah, I'm an honest person. He's not. Okay. You found it. Whatever.
I found it in the supermarket.
Right. So anyway, it's very nice. You can clip it on your clothes, or mine sits in my pocket all day long, and it counts steps, it counts the calories, the steps, the time you'll be walking, and how much? Distance, yeah. But you know what, it doesn't really do every step. I measured it. If I go 1, 2, 3, 4, it gives me like 8 or 9 steps all at once. So it measures, I researched it, so it is a tree, whatever. There is an algorithm, and it looks at your body, and if, for instance, I'm a very busy person, even if I walk, I go this way, this way, this way, so when I'm doing dishes, I go this way, this way, and if it finds motions that come close enough that it could be a step, it counts it as a step. So even if you go like this, yeah. So it's not accurate, but it doesn't matter. I figured out that about 2,500 steps, according to that thing, is 1 mile. So if I walk 2 miles in the morning, yeah, 2,500 steps. But I want to double check it. On my iPhone, I have a runkeeper. And the runkeeper measures measures the distance, yeah. So if I have my runkeeper with me, and I walk exactly 1 mile, then my Fitbit should say 2,500 steps. So it's not accurate, but it doesn't matter because, like you say, Carolyn, it motivates me. So I put, you can set it for your goal. So I set it for 10,000 steps. And what else? Something else? Okay. $60 from Bed Bath & Beyond, and then you get, of course, a 20% coupon. So my goal is 10,000. So if I'm walking and you go to the store and you walk here and there and on the parking lot, I try to get my 10,000. But if I don't do my 2 mile walk in the morning, I don't always make the 10,000. So sometimes it's 13, sometimes 8,000. But if it's like 4,500 at night, I just want to see the nice figure, 5,000. So I walk around my house or my yard just to get to the 5,000. It's a game I play. But at least it gets me going, and otherwise I have no motivation to walk. As I get a little older, I'm not so, you know, excited anymore about walking. I say, I've got to walk, because I want to see the thing go up to 10,000. So, what else? Mm-hmm. And then it syncs with my iPhone. Yeah. So as soon as I open the app and it syncs, you see it sync and it updates it how many steps you did and so on. So it's a nice gadget. Yeah.
iPhone. It always syncs with an Android too, okay?
Well, I do iPhone.
I know you don't do Androids.
No. So, I guess I'm happy with the thing. It's a toy, but it works. It helps me, motivates me to do more exercise. Yeah. If I go back and I said, 3 days ago I did 13,000 and the day before 7,000, 6,000. Yeah, I've had it for 3 months and it holds just about all the 3 months, every day. Tells you, yeah. I have not tried it yet. I don't know. It's just a screen that comes up. I could research that, yeah. And it resets at night. At midnight, it resets to 0. But it comes to the thing, and Stephanie was very clever asking that. When I don't wear it at night. It sits on my dresser or my pants or my whatever, where my clothes are. So when I wake up in the morning, everything is 0 except the calories. Yeah, calories. It said 350 calories, 400 calories. So how can that be? And I thought, because when you sleep, you burn calories.
But wait, I don't wear a thing at night. So now I'm going to try it tonight. I'm going to wear it and see what the calories say tomorrow. So these 400 calories, where did they come from? So I'm going to research that and have them explain it to me. Because it seems it's not right. If you don't wear the thing, how can it count your calories? But I'm not wearing it. That's the thing that I'm not wearing. And I don't care about calories, but I was just wondering. It said it sets everything to zero at midnight, and I wake up, and every morning there's a couple hundred calories. Where the hell did it come from? Right? Okay.
Maybe that's metabolism, like a 3 hours, so many hours worth. Yeah, but it's assuming that when time passes, you have to, you're staying alive, and therefore your blood's going and stuff like that.
I will research it, because I checked it. 12 o'clock midnight, everything was zero. And darn it, I wake up and it's 300-400 calories.
Okay. I'm from El Segundo, and I can remember back in the day, I had my bed was on casters, and it was always going like this because we are on an earthquake fault. So my thing is, you're having little earth tremors there, and that nightstand is moving back and forth, and it thinks it's moving and walking. I know you doubt it, but it sounds good. Stephanie is going to tell us, before Maurice talks, I want you to talk about your what you read about exercising. Stick that in. She read an article in the New York Times today.
Okay, one of the best things in the New York Times is the Tuesday science section. It is wonderful. Just about maybe 6 pages, but it has wonderful articles, some of them on health, some on other aspects of science. But it's a way of keeping up, and it's all written in a way that you can understand. And today they had an article that said that walking at a brisk pace or a slow jog was good for the back, that the back vertebrae and particularly the discs reacted well to getting that much exercise. You didn't have to run 5 miles. It didn't do any additional good to run marathons or something like that. And if you got less exercise, your back was more likely to give you problems and have back pain.
As I indicated, I found my Fitbit in the supermarket, Smart and Final. I was about to put down my basket, and in the basket below it, this Fitbit was laying there. So I'm learning about Fitbit. But in addition to that, I climb the Santa Monica stairs on a regular basis. And there's an elderly gentleman who climbs the stairs regularly also. And he said, Maurice, there's a free app called Pacer. And he says if you download it, it will tell you how many steps you've made. So I've downloaded it. Today I climbed the Santa Monica stairs. From the time I woke up this morning, every step I took was recorded in Pacer. So at this point tonight, I've taken 5,791 steps. It also gives you the number of calories you burn, how many the amount of time you spent, and also the number of miles corresponding to the number of steps you've taken. So Pacer is a free app that you can download to your cell phones and also do the same thing. So I'm learning about Pacer and about Fitbit.
Where did you put the cell phone in order to record the steps?
Well, Pacer, you just go www.
No. It was in your pocket when you were walking up the steps.
In my pouch. There must. If I'm exercising, I keep it in the cell phone in my pouch. On my. Yes, it still records how much I move. I can see when I open up the app and I go to Pacer, you can see it's still calculating. Now it says I've made 5,815 steps. So maybe any movement that I do, it records it as a step. Yes, George.
It records your movement. Now, let me ask about calories burned. If you were to walk here compared to going up the steps, given the same number of steps, would the number of calories be different? I hope they would think so. I'm asking if that's it.
I don't really know, but I would think so. I think you would expect more energy going up. Yes, absolutely. Yes, you would burn more calories. Yes. Look, I'm just, guys, this is new to me also. So I'm learning the technology, and hopefully, you know, we can have more discussion, in-depth discussion. One thing I like about this technology is that in the ocular system, I have friends who want to have the real experience of seeing Microsoft Store. Went to the Microsoft Store and see the demonstration of the Oculus system. you know, I bought one and I shared it with my kids. I was impressed by how much they learned using the Oculus 3D systems. Okay, that's the wearable system. So, the applications, as Judy has said, are innumerable. They're manifold, and depending on what your interest is, you can enjoy this technology.
Okay. I'll say a couple of things, and then I'll go to a couple more people in the audience. I won a Runtastic bathroom scale, here, you know, maybe a year or two ago when we still had raffles. And when I step on it, it tells me, well, first place, you do have to set it up and tell them how tall you are and a few other things. But when I step on it, it gives me not only my weight, but its estimate of how much body fat I have, how much muscle, how much everything. It's interesting, but the three things that are your basic thing are fine, but then they add the water on top of it, so you end up with like 150% of your actual weight. So I guess the water gets in the middle of the fat or something. I don't quite understand that. But anyway, it is interesting, and it does keep track of things. It links to my cell phone. They have a website. I get emails that suggest that I should, you know, develop a program and do all kinds of stuff, none of which I have done. But, you know, if you had the time and energy and interest, that kind of stuff is available. And I guess some of it's free and some of it is some charge for it. Okay, Linda, you want?
Who else has a wearable device that they brought today that they use? Right back there? Okay, you're next.
Okay, this does not have to do with Fitbit. when you did your presentation, the one that really impressed me was the glucometer built into contact lenses that measures a few other things. Do you have a product name and a manufacturer for that? I have a suspicion that with the doctor's prescription, Medicare may pay for all or some of that.
You want to go online and Google contact lenses, and it will tell you, like I said, they've turned their company into Alphabet, and Alphabet has all kinds of different divisions. They bought this company, and it looked to me like they're going gung-ho on it. So that's how you're going to find out all about the information. And the company name starts with V. V is in victory. $60 at Bed Bath & Beyond, 20% coupon off.
Okay, but it's a fun thing, and it motivates me, and I have fun with it. That's all. I don't care about the calories. I just want to make sure nobody kicks me out of bed because I live alone, so I need something to get me up and just to tell myself I did a good job today. That's all.
I might say that my scale also tells me two calorie levels, one if you're inactive and another if you're active. So. It just is something to aim at, not as, you know, what I actually have or have not done. Okay, John wanted to talk.
Okay, I have four heart monitors. The best one I have, they discontinue making, unfortunately. It was a Garmin 301. It had 21 functions, including GPS. And you could actually see your route, a picture of your route, how you're moving about and all that. You can put even markers on that route. The worst one is Polar. I would never buy a Polar again. The one I'm wearing right now, I bought this at Fry's. I couldn't believe the price. I thought it was junk. I'm sorry, but it was a hell of a value. It only cost me $29. It has seven functions, and believe me, it's tough. It's not junk. It's very quality made. And it has seven functions. Now, I'll let you know, I have a heart condition. That's why I have these monitors. When I work, walk, all of a sudden I get a crush in my chest. I have to stop. So what I did, I put my monitor on, and I went until I felt that crush. Then I stopped. I looked at the figure, where I was, at my pulse. I then subtracted 10%, and I reset it 10% less, and an alarm. When the alarm went off, I stopped. Now, you have to figure how long you could rest. In my case, it's 2 minutes and 15 seconds. No, don't laugh. It's very critical. If you go longer than that, you rest too long, it's no good. If too short, it's no good. So what I did, when it went off, I did my rest. I continued walking. Now, the funny thing, the strange thing, is I was able to work longer before it crashed again. You know, the sound, the warning. 2 minutes, 15 seconds. And the third time, I started walking. No problem at all. I don't know why the heart works like that. But if you're going to you want to buy one of these for exercise for your heart, like, you know, if you have a condition like I have, that's the way I did it, and it works well for me.
And what's the name?
Huh?
What is the name?
It says Bali on here, but I don't know who manufactures it. It says Bali, like your exercise, the gym, Bali's gym.
B-A-L-L-Y.
No,
Fries,
B-A-L-L-Y.
$29, not too shabby.
I couldn't believe the price. I thought I was buying junk. Terrific. This is a very well made. It's well made. You can even see it. And it has seven nice functions. You know, and, I like it. And it, the numbers are big on here. The very large numbers on here.
Just good for seniors. Okay. Anyone else like to...